Hello, this is an episode of Friday Night Hang. It's Bob here, and I got Ira.
Hey.
And John.
You.
We're going to do two things end this episode. So one big deal that we wanted to talk about is regarding the Houston Astros scandal. I just finally got to read up on the whole extent of it. I am in shock regarding about the whole thing. And also, spring training has started, and there was a big controversy regarding with the Astros and their first spring training game. You heard about that, right, John?
Houston asterisks?
Yes. The Astros management actually confiscated fans' signs. And I got to see actually what the sign looked like online, and it says Houston with an asterisk S. The Houston asterisks instead of the Houston Astros because of the scandal. And so that's what they took away. Ooh. And there's people, and they were all booing with the Astros' first game.
Oh, wow.
All right. For those who don't know about the scandal, because I really didn't know the full extent of it, this is a big deal because Alan brought up about, oh, it's no big deal. Actually, it is a big deal. So let me read to you basically, I'm going to paraphrase here. The source that I'm reading it from is from CBSSports.com. The Astros used a camera positioned in center field to steal signs during games. Team personnel would watch the feed in a hallway between the clubhouse and dugout and would relay what was coming to the hitter by hitting a garbage can. And also, they actually watched how that would work. MLB investigation revealed the Astros initially developed a system using illegal electronics to decode signs so a runner on second base could relay the sign to the hitter. Houston first tried whistling and clapping before settling on banging on the garbage can. And the MLB's report says that the Astros stole signs throughout the 2017 regular season and postseason and early in 2018 as well.
Cheers.
The reason why this was a big deal, because it's against the rule not just in the unwritten sense, baseball took explicit steps to ban this kind of behavior heading into the 2019 season, limiting the amount of live feed access available to teams and not permitting in-house cameras between the foul poles. And also, teams were warned. What were Houston's penalties? There were five major penalties from Manfred, who is the baseball commissioner. And I explained to John here that the teams pick and designate the commissioner. The commissioner does not act independent. They don't.
Fire Manfred.
They don't. It's the team owners. They choose, they pick, and they're also the ones who can remove. So here's what happened. AJ Hinch was suspended, and then later he was fired. GM Jeff Luhnow was suspended for the 2020 season, but then he was also fired by the Astros. Former assistant GM Brandon Taubman suspended 1 year. Astros forfeit their first and second round draft picks for the next 2 years. Astros fined $5 million, which is the maximum under the MLB's constitution.
$5 million.
I know. They MLB's report says that the Astros cannot skirt the draft pick penalty through free agent compensation or any other means. One way or the other, they will lose those picks. The commissioner, Rob Manfred, decided not to hand out any discipline to the players involved, and there were three reasons for it. One, the MLB promised players immunity in exchange for their cooperation. Two, Manfred released a memo in 2017 warning the teams the general manager and manager would be held responsible for any such allegations. Three, Manfred called disciplining players impractical because it would be difficult to assign proper blame. That, I think, is fugazi because they were able to document who was. So that third point really is moot. What do you think, Ira?
Yeah, I get that. It has to be upper management who is going to wind up getting accountability in this particular.
In the report also, Red Sox manager Alex Cora, who was the only non-player mentioned by the name in the report's summary, still awaits his punishment from the league as Boston is currently under investigation for sign-stealing scheme of their own from 2018. Later, the Red Sox announced that they parted ways with Alex Cora. Also, Mets manager Carlos Beltran was the only 2017 Astros player named in the report. And of course, although he was going to become the Mets general manager, that ended as well. Now, this is Alan's point here. Don't other teams do this? It stands to reason that every team tries to steal signs. That's part of the game. The issue is how the signs are being stolen.
True.
And the Astros took things too far in their pursuit of an advantage. Manfred's report even said the Astros players knew that what they were doing crossed the line. Red Sox have been wrapped up in a different size ceiling scandal involving the use of their replay review room during the 2018 series. So that was a different issue.
And they had the best record in baseball.
Right. So that's the article that I read, which is from CBSSports.com. Because I wanted to know more about it, actually. Now the thing is this. That's similar to like what we were talking about in a prior episode about the Black Sox, which was 1919, Chicago Black Sox, because they were doing a scandal of their own. And then, you know, you talked to me, John, about regarding about pine tar, corking bats. Bring it up.
But yeah, those are... You still have to hit the ball.
Right.
But with this, they know it's coming. It's not like they have to adjust or anything like that.
Right.
And this is the first time its electronic usage has been used in baseball.
Correct. Yeah, so the thing is that it's very detailed. We're going to see much more about it. There's already loss in morale. Also, there's a question regarding why so many players were given immunity and essentially are not going to get any type of punishment at all. So that's another factor. And so we're going to see this play on and off throughout the season with fans and that they're getting pissed off at this shit. And so, you know, it may cause further things further regarding evaluation, in attendance, and also in protesting. You know, with all the other stuff that's going on. So what do you think on that, Ira?
Unfortunately, it is.
Yes.
I mean, because here, when you have problems with the morale of the game, it's like when you have more problems with morale in the company. I mean, everything gets affected. Performance, who cares anymore? That's, you know, and if it gets to the point of who cares anymore, then you're going to have disgruntled fans as well. And
it's right. Man, a friend is changing baseball for the worse.
And here's something else I just want to bring up briefly, and that I heard on the radio, and you may have heard it with me, talking about, oh, why don't we now go back to 154 games in a season versus 162?
Yeah, I heard that.
Oh,
yeah.
you think the team owners are going to be okay with that?
No, they're not going to be okay. And this
Who
is
brought
what,
that up?
This was brought up on the radio. They talked about
doing... Oh, some host or some fan brought it up?
No, some host brought it up. You know, that adds up to money. 8 games, that's millions and millions and millions of dollars. Multiply that by how many teams? 32 teams, something?
Yeah. Well, that's also why there's a lot of stuff going on regarding about the MLB team owners wanting to reduce the number of minor league. Because that affects economies, that affects smaller stadiums.
That's right.
That affects people and staff. So it's a lot of job. And then also around it, like... restaurants and stuff, other stuff supporting around in the towns involved in it.
I can see them cutting, if anything, early in the season, very late March, first couple days in April. It's very cold. It could be cold then, well, especially up in the Northeast.
Right.
That's one of the things they were talking about. I mean, look, I know when I used to go to Shea Stadium years ago, I went to a game one time, and it was 45 degrees at night in the middle of April. I mean...
Let's talk about this. We visited Chicago. What year? 2018?
In 2018. Okay. And the three of us were in Wrigley
Field. The outside of Wrigley was like 52, 55 degrees.
Yeah.
When you go inside the open stadium of Wrigley Field, it was 44 degrees, windy as F.
Whoa.
And I was freezing to death. I was not dressed properly for it. You could see your breath.
I mean, if you're in San Diego, it could be totally different.
That's or Miami. Situation.
Or Los Angeles. Yeah. You know, but when you're dealing with, I'm seeing a Minnesota Twins game at the beginning of April, holy mackerel.
They decided not to spend the money on a retractable roof, and instead they spent 4 heated seats.
Okay.
They have heated seats in Target Field in Minnesota. That's what I heard.
Okay. Never been there.
Yeah. I'd love to visit that place. Absolutely. They say it's wonderful.
Unless they make all the games in the South.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
Look, the bottom line, what you said before, this sports has a ripple effect on so many businesses.
Yes.
Okay? A huge, huge ripple effect here.
Sports has a big play all around the world, whether it's soccer, whether it's rugby, whether it's football, whether it's the Olympics, you know, all that stuff. World Cup, I mean, all the scandals regarding with that coming up in Qatar, you know, simply because... The area, when they're going to play it, it's going to be over 110 degrees. Oof. If it was a different time of year, no one would care. If they had moved it to someplace It's not because it's a Muslim country. If they put it in Morocco, no one would care. Yeah, it'd be fine. Because also, it wouldn't be 110 degrees in the summer. Sure. You know, so that's the whole idea of it. You know, so that's where that comes from and everything. All right, anything else that we're going to talk about regarding this? Okay? All right, we'll be back right after this message. Hello, this is segment two. Okay, so one thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about was what I did when I was in Florida. So I want to let you know what was going on. So I go since 2012, because after my dad passed, you know, two of my sisters moved down south to Florida, to the Fort Myers area. And so regularly, my other sister, I have two older sisters, one younger. The younger one is back up here in New York, and the other two stayed down there. My oldest sister, Kate, and my sister, Susan. So since 2012, more or less, I've been going down to Florida, you know, at least once a year, you know, and spend time down there. This is also the time for my sister Kate's birthday. So that's when I go. The thing is, the problem with it always is that it's too early for spring training. One time I was able, luckily, to go to a spring training game, but it was like Easter Sunday. It was like the last day of March, and I went to JetBlue Park, which is also called Fenway South. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that year, I think it was 2013, I got to see rookie Jackie Bradley Jr., and that was so fun, absolutely fun. I was all dressed up in Boston Red Sox gear. Besides being a Mets fan, I'm also a Red Sox fan as well. And that was so much fun. That was absolutely so much fun. So the thing is, so like this year, I went down, and where my sister Kate's complex is, there's a pool and everything. So I try to swim every day and work out. So because I was telling people at work, what's weird about me is that usually when I go away on a vacation, I actually lose weight. And I'm always trying to keep as fit as I can. I am type 2 diabetic. So you know, regarding about trying to be as healthy as possible. So, you know, I posted on Instagram, I had a picture of my workout gear. And so there was sparring boxing gloves and then my Speedo and goggles. So, you know, there I go with that. So, you know.
You're boxing in the pool in your Speedo?
No, you don't box in the pool. Not with that. But I had like my swim gloves. I had swim gloves too.
You're shadow boxing in the pool?
Well, no. Well, there's a clubhouse there, and there's also like a fitness equipment. There's like a bike and also like a treadmill, which I'm not allowed to use. My foot doctor will not let me use the treadmill. Mm-hmm. So I use sometimes the stationary bike, and also sometimes I bring up, I use resistance bands and things of that nature. So stuff like that. But I try and do at least half an hour in working out in the pool. So I'm doing jogging in the pool, some swimming, and then also doing the stretching that I have to do in the pool. You know, whether I work out up here or if I go down there. So this year, what was different is that me and my older sister, who was trying to sell stained glass and jewelry and pieces like that, she has her own business called Beach Bangles, that she was doing a craft fair in Punta Gorda. And so we decided to do that. So it was with a friend of hers. And so we went over there. It was absolutely beautiful and everything, but it was so windy. Actually, you could see like tents and the canopies. They were flying in some places. Mm-hmm. Actually, they couldn't batten them down. It was like crazy funny and everything. So Kate was actually able to spend some money and everything. So it was absolutely fun. The other thing that we did when I was up there was that I got to see a whole load of movies. I got to see Dr. Sleep, which I can absolutely recommend. That's the sequel to The Shining. It had Ewan McGregor in it. Absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. You would all love that. But it's a long movie, 2.5 hours. Also, I got to see Hustlers. That's the movie with J-Lo and Constance Wu. Fantastic. That's based on a real story about a strip club and stuff up here in New York. Fantastic movie.
Constance Wu, who was in Fresh Off the Boat.
Oh, that's right. Constance Wu. Okay. Yeah, she was great in the movie.
And so. Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, that's right. So she's probably going to be in the sequel then? Because they are making a sequel for...
Yes.
Because there's a whole series of those books mm-hmm. from that author for Crazy Rich Asians. Okay. Very good. Very good. I also got to see the movie Judy, which is the movie with Renee Zellweger about the last... It was a story about the last 6 months of time near Judy Garland's death in the 60s when she performed in London. And so it covers that period of time. Very interesting, riveting for people who don't know regarding about her. You know, stuff like that. The other movie that I saw was this horror movie. Definitely recommend you see it. It's called Midsommar. It is set in Sweden. Mm. And essentially, it is about runes and pagans and death and fire and murder. If you ever saw a movie called The Wicker Man, which was made, not the remake, but the original made in the 1970s, which had Christopher Lee, and I believe it was Albert Brooks or Albert Finney, one of those. That is a scary horror movie, and this movie is sort of like that. So think of it in that vein. I recommend it. It's called Midsommar. Also, guess what I also got to see? I actually got to see first episodes of Picard, Star Trek Picard. Wonderful. Worth seeing. Worth getting. Absolutely love it. I am so glad Jerry Ryan, who plays 7 of 9, is in it, because I was a fan of Voyager. And also, I got to watch first episodes of The Crown. Have you seen The Crown, Ira?
No, but I know the premise.
The royal family?
It's about the British royal family. I got to see the last episode of season 2 with Claire Foy playing Queen Elizabeth. And then I watched several episodes of season 3 where Olivia Colman plays Queen Elizabeth. And then also her sister Margaret's played by Helena Bonham Carter, who's been in 3 million things. Absolutely riveting. Worth watching. It is so historical. I come from a history background, and my dad, my mom, my family, we love history stuff, also British stuff. It is amazing to the detail they go with this. And it's so worth doing. Because there was controversy regarding why switch the actresses. You know, Olivia Colman is older. Olivia Colman is very good.
Right. But they start season 3. It's supposed to be the late 1960s.
No, it actually starts 1964.
1964. Now, 1964, she had her last child.
This is still before that time.
Okay. All right.
They included already, to just give you some idea, in cousin, regarding about the great coal mine disaster which occurred in Wales.
Okay.
Prince Charles going to Wales to learn to speak Welsh. Princess Margaret and her husband Tony going to D.C. to visit President Lyndon Johnson. That's what's going on in the episodes that I saw.
Ah, okay.
So the timing is around 62 to 64. Also, they talked about the scandal with Lord Mountbatten. Do you know about that?
Mountbatten. Didn't he get killed in 79?
This is 1960s.
No, but I'm talking about...
I'm talking about the television show.
Okay.
This show called The Crown. The scandal was that people wanted to make to ask Lord Mountbatten to essentially try and make a coup and overthrow the Labour leader, Harry Wilson.
Harold Wilson, yes.
To try and take it over, and the Queen had to step in.
Okay.
Because it was improper what he did.
Gotcha.
Okay. So that's what that's about. This is 1964 we're talking about.
64.
Right. Okay. And I had already seen an episode about another scandal regarding the art director who was actually a Russian spy. So they've talked about that as well. So like I said, this show is riveting. If you have not seen The Crown, it is worth watching. I was completely into it. And so, yeah, no wonder it gets all the accolades and stuff like that. It's worth doing. Even if they change the actresses. Like I said, Olivia Colman, don't worry, it is still very good. Because the writers are still there. And it's based on actual historical events.
Okay.
And everything. So it's just they're how they're doing it. So they got it down pat. So it's good. So because this is season 3 that came out. So next will be season 4. John, a movie that's going to be coming out, I've been reading about. What do you think of it? Did you know that there's going to be a remake of The Invisible Man? And it's going to star Elizabeth Moss in it, who's been from The Handmaid's Tale.
Mad Men.
Elizabeth Moss is not from Mad Men,
yeah.
Is she?
Yeah.
What'd she play? I forgot.
She originally started out as a secretary, then she played an advertising woman.
Oh, I don't remember her, though.
Yeah, Elizabeth Moss.
Well, like I said, the show that I remember watching her from was from my sister Kate, again, also from Netflix, a crime drama show called Top of the Lake, which was set in New Zealand and Australia. It existed for 2 seasons. They didn't make a 3rd season because the 3rd season was... She started doing The Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
That's the big thing that she's known for. She's also a Scientologist, if you didn't know.
I didn't know that.
But the thing is, check it out if you have an ability to watch it, called Top of the Lake. First of all, it's beautiful settings and stuff like that. It's New Zealand and then Sydney. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But she is like tough as nails. She is like incredible. No wonder she is a great actress. You just see that. It's called Top of the Lake. It's 2 seasons. I believe it's on Netflix. All right, on the or Hulu. It's on one of those services.
Mad Men.
Oh, okay. She was on Men.
Yes.
I'm not saying you're lying.
No, no, I know. I know. And she was, look at this. I didn't even know this. She was on The West Wing.
Oh, wow.
It must have been a short role.
She was on, I don't know how long, but she was on The West Wing.
Okay. Well, okay.
Okay.
All right. So the last thing that I did, because I was away for like about 9 days in Florida. And just chilling, taking it easy, hanging, you know, visiting my family. My other sister, Susan, as well, who lives somewhere else nearby. And my nephew, Brian, who's like a mini, you know, younger version of me. But he has a ZZ Top beard, you know. I don't, and he has a long beard. But he's a cool guy. The other thing that I did was I visited for the first time what's called the Edison Festival of Light. And what that is that's their parade in Fort Myers. And they do it every year.
Right, we've posted that.
And what it is just to give you an idea, what is it? It's
Hanukkah.
No, it's not Hanukkah. You. Okay. It is essentially like a parade with like fire trucks and police cars and vehicles that are all decked out in lights and marching bands and, you know, people marching and stuff like that. And they've been doing it for like a very, very long time. That area is famous because it was the winter estates for Thomas Edison and also Henry Ford. The Ford estate and the Edison estate are down there in Fort Myers in that area. And so that's what that area is known for, Lee County. So it is a beautiful, great parade and definitely worth visiting, you know, checking out. I mean, would I go out of my way to go again to it? Probably not. But it was fun to actually see it, you know, for once and everything. But sometimes it was like a little loud. And also they have like police and fire groups from like all over the country come. There were some from Ohio, some from Indiana, some from Pennsylvania, down there in Florida.
Any
what?
New Yorkers?
Regarding in the marching? No, not really. But it was great and everything. And then, you know, and then I came back home on President's Day on an early, early flight. And so, you know, back up here to New York and everything. But it was great. So, you know, I try to go down every year, you know, if I can, you know, to see my sisters. And, you know, and that's pretty much about it. So, anything else you guys want to chime in on anything? As you got any questions about me about Florida? I think I asked that about you a year or so ago, about if you wanted to ask questions of me about regarding Florida, where I go to.
No, just
no.
Maybe you should postpone it next till the end.
Well,
of
one thing that we talked about but we couldn't do was where I am, where I visit in that part of Florida. There are four teams that do spring training. In Fort Myers proper, there is the Minnesota Twins. They play at Municipal Stadium, and then the Red Sox at JetBlue Park. Then there is the Tampa Bay Rays. They play in Port Charlotte. And just fairly new, the Atlanta Braves moved into a park in Venice, which is also nearby in Charlotte County. That's about 30, 40 minutes away. So within a very short area, there's four teams where you can watch spring training games. So we had talked about wanting to defer it later on so that way we could actually go, you know, that actually we could do like a mini trek to go spring training, you know, spring training game hopping. And stuff like that. Because the problem is for you, John, the Yankees are up in Tampa. That's 70 miles away. And Port St. Lucie is on the other side. This is the Gulf Coast that we're talking about here, where I visit my sisters. So the thing is that sometimes it's not that convenient to visit. Where I am, when I visit, that's not far away from Sarasota and Bradenton and Naples. Those are also not too far away. But Sarasota is like 2 hours driving up, you know, from it. So the thing is that we got to try and coordinate so that way we can go see some spring training games. Because I was lucky that I got to see one, but I still haven't seen any other since that time. You know, because the Grapefruit League is in Florida, the Cactus League is in Arizona, more or less, you know, regarding with the other teams. So, you know, we have to talk more regarding of that, you know, and also, you know, see of that. So that's pretty much about it. Again, follow us here on Facebook, like our page, Friday Night Hang. I am Robert. I am on Instagram, Muntzman, Muntzman. I'm on Twitter, Muntz Radio, Muntzradio. So follow me, and also just simply follow your podcasts on this, where this is an Anchor podcast, and it's available on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. It's available on everywhere and anywhere you can. And we will talk to you again real soon. Have a good night, all.